November 9th. Mr. Coxey, if you'll please establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell. Jim Brawner.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pinkleton.
Here.
Frank Preston.
Here.
Joey Staples. Carl Pride. Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. Okay, if you'll explain the meeting procedures for our public hearing, please.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division III application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. At the regular meeting of the Planning Commission, 1 week after the public hearing, the projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting, however, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case is heard.
Well, thank you very much. Let's move on then to the public hearings. First proposal is the Branson Radio Network, and if you'll hand me the sign-up sheets.
This is the Division III staff report for the Branson Radio Network, dated November 9, 2009, case number 09-27. This is the public hearing for the Branson Radio Network, located off of State Highway 376 in the Branson Township, Section 34, Township 23, Range 22. The applicant, Larry Morton, requests approval to operate a radio recording studio and offices. History is that it was approved for concept on October 19, 2009. The general description, the subject property is located at 2242 State Highway 376. The adjoining properties to the request consists of residential and undeveloped. Review, the request is to produce and syndicate live call-in radio shows to be broadcast over the internet and satellite for AM and FM stations throughout the country. The structure will be used to house the offices from the top two floors and the basement for a recording studio. There will be 5 to 7 employees from the hours of 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. Utilities and building line setbacks, foliage screening or fencing from commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts, improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts if any construction is done. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Certificate of conformance will need to be issued, and the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Also, when we scored this project, it scored a 32, positive 32, out of a maximum of 67 points. The only negative issue on this was had to do with solid waste, and they have produced us a letter from Epps Trash stating that that is taken care of. So pretty solid project, as far as all that's concerned. And we'll go into our videos and slides for you real quick. As you remember, this is out near where Celebration City used to be. And this, of course, is the property here. It sits pretty far back off the road. There's almost a little frontage road here to get to that. So you turn off of 376 and onto that little frontage road there. Bigger. And, of course, the house and everything already exists, so some of what I've read to you tonight won't really take effect. I think the only thing they had to do was they did put in either an internet line or something like that, and it's already in and buried, so there won't be any visible changes to most people coming through there. There is a huge circle drive around this place, and there's plenty of room for all the parking that's necessary. It will need to change from residential to commercial with the assessor, and so we will send them a letter to that effect letting them know if you approve this project, that's what the case is. As mentioned before, there won't be any additional equipment as far as satellite dishes, antennas, or anything like that. And that's kind of what we've got there. Do we have a video?
We hope.
It will in a minute.
Still have that same computer, I see.
Yeah, we are. But hey, all the clickers work today.
All the clickers work.
Yeah.
Still have the same computer.
Yeah, that's a little out of my my range there, but I mean, I'm meeting with IS.
I was saying that for Chuck's benefit.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Road and Bridge has the same issue when they try to play in here also. So. The only, and we're going to take a shot of it as we come around here. We're going to come around and face this house. There are a few houses close by. The closest one, of course, is going to be to the right here. There's quite an expanse of woods there and trees and everything. So it is somewhat buffered, and that would be the house over there with me standing right in front of that. So that may be sufficient if you feel a need that there needs to be some other kind of buffering, then that would be something you would need to discuss. But, not a huge subdivision or anything like that. I had to stop and wash the windshield because it was a little dirty there. I know y'all hate that. So, and this is, we decided to kind of drive around so you can see what's in the back here. And you can drive by this house and not really notice it when you go down 376. You have to really be looking.
Eddie, the plat is only for 1 acre. And yet you're showing us a lot of extra land.
I'm showing you what's around,
okay,
and everything. But this sits on the front of that. So if I'm not mistaken, doesn't sit right on the front of that, Dan, of that 1 acre. And I'm going to bring that back up in just a second so that you'll know that that's good. Dan, if you bring up the overhead picture of that again, please, sir. So, see, there is a big expanse of land because that house does hug the here, and it's closer to the front. So what I'm showing you here is this. There is nothing on it. Of course, this is the distance, I believe, right here in the trees that are in there. I don't believe they have any intention of, or I know at this time, of building anything. I don't think they have any intention of going in there. Of course, this would be the neighbor's trees, it looks like, and they're probably not going to come in and cut them down. But if they would choose to do so, that would be... that would be their choice.
You mean the neighbor's choice?
Right.
Yeah.
And the house that you showed us is the house up above?
Right here.
Okay. So there's a lot in between?
Yeah, right here.
There's a house there, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
This is about 3 years old.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so there is this one here. Now, down in here somewhere, quite a way, there's another house, if I'm not mistaken.
Eddie, the history of this, was what along here, was this the house that was approved as a day spa at one point?
That was before my time, so I don't really know. Right now it's being...
Wasn't that true?
It is being taxed as residential.
And I don't think
but I did hear that mentioned during the concept hearing.
I know that somewhere in that neighborhood a day spa was approved. I don't know if it was special use or commercial, so it seemed like...
I think this house has been for sale for a little while. And like I say, I know it's been taxed. When we brought up the beacon, I don't remember it saying anything about a business in the home or anything like that.
And what is the distance of the property line? I know if you're looking at this, it's pretty tight. It looks like the driveways.
Well, these lines can be off as much as 30 feet or more.
Okay.
So there is no encroachment there that we're aware of.
No encroachment, but as far as buffer in regards to commercial, there might be.
Right. And that's what I was telling you. Right now, there's a large expanse of land here. But it is not theirs. It belongs to the neighbor. So if you want to consider something else, I mean, their parking would be up in this area here. If you want them to put in some kind of a privacy fence or something like that, that's, of course, within our code book, and we can do that.
Okay.
If you didn't and the neighbors came in and chopped those trees down, then they would be, it's not the neighbor's responsibility to provide the buffering. But
But there really isn't anything external to the house.
No, ma'am. It will look like a seamless change, with the exception there'll be a few more cars there. It would probably make them look a little more affluent if they can own a lot of cars or if they have a lot of kids. Yeah,
so. And that little internet line you talked about was probably a little bigger deal than how you mentioned it. I'm going to guess.
Can tell
that's
you
a pretty,
about that.
Pretty massive undertaking. Okay.
Mr. Lekander?
Yes.
You signed up to speak, and you're one of the owner developers of this?
I'm the developer.
Sir?
Okay.
Need to have him up here tonight.
Uh-huh. Well, we need to see whether or not he's the one we need to have.
Oh, okay.
Your technology.
I'm sorry.
It's taking control. Well, Mr. Harris, why don't you two come up together then, and if there are questions or comments that you want to make.
I'd be glad to. Thank you very much. I'm Jim Harris, and I'm the owner-to-be of the property. We have it under contract with the Mortons. A couple of things I'd like to add is, in the area, it could be very important. The Mortons own 6 acres from the bottom line of the property there on down.
There's a pointer up there if you'd like to grab that. And,
okay.
And just push the button, off you'll go.
Right, there we go. They own 6.5 acres running along 376 to the south of that. 6.7 something, they're half owners. In our opinion and in their opinion, this is all commercial property, considering what else is around there. And that is, to my knowledge, unless there's another one back in the woods somewhere, that's the only other house on the property. And it undoubtedly, as close as it is to the Steak and Shake and the Celebration City property and so forth, it's too expensive now not to be commercial also, if you folks so desire. That strip will probably be commercial. The property along there has gotten quite expensive, and the per acreage cost is kind of prohibitive for most residential properties.
Mr. Harris, you are the owner of the property, and you are going to be selling this to...
No, he will be
Mr.
the owner.
Mr. Morton
you
is
will
the owner.
Be the
yes,
owner.
Okay. Yes. The title is still in his name. Okay. We have already taken possession of the property and started cleaning
it
and so forth.
But it was Mr. Morton who appeared before us before, and we understood he was the operator of the radio station.
Mr. Morton?
No.
Uh-huh. No. No, Mr. Lekander appeared.
I'm the controller. Mr. Morton has never been
before. Mr. Morton was just the owner of the house.
Okay.
So he had to sign the thing.
Okay.
And it, if I may, your assumption about the day spa or whatever that was is correct. This is the property. And it was a special use permit. So I was told that it was, yeah. We'd still have to go through this process. There's also a lot of parking at the back, and I think the gentleman alluded to that. We have plenty of parking on the front for the number of employees we have, but actually most of the cars will be totally out of sight from anything except the possibility of that house if everything were leveled. The parking's totally at the back and not in the view of anything.
Except for that new Cadillac he's going to be buying me.
Ah, there you go. You want that on the record?
Yeah. Gentlemen, in your review, it says that there will be 5 to 7 employees from the hours of 8 to 6. So what happens? Because I'm sure that the broadcasting continues on.
In today's technology, and I assure you I won't get very technical with you because I don't know. So I'll be very simple. We can all understand it. In today's technology, it's amazing how consolidated the operation is and the equipment is. It just doesn't take that much to do what we do worldwide. In the past, it would have taken a building half as big as this courthouse. So I'm exaggerating, but a huge space. And it takes very few personnel. The number of 5 to 7 is actually very generous, except on some occasions we may be doing a live program that requires participation by 5 or 6 or 7 people, and they'll come in and do their show, and it may be 10 minutes, it may be an hour, but there may be 10 people in the building, and then for 3 hours or 1 hour or something, and then for 12 hours, there are 2 people there. So it's not that people come and go to work and stay there. They're just in and out. So the normal personnel in that building requirement, 5 to 7, is very generous. I mean, it just doesn't take that many people there constantly.
Security issues at all?
Well, we've done the best we can. We've recently installed a pretty extensive security system, including cameras if they ever arrive. We're also connected so that we can observe at all times, our security company, and we can. Both Jim and I will have the capacity of reviewing what's going on inside the building. And if there is a break-in, alarm goes off in our house as well as the security company, and we're able to watch them while they're ransacking the place until we can get some people there. Of course, there'll almost always be people in the studio, but they could be downstairs in what used to be the garage of this house, but had, interestingly, already been converted to a broadcast, not a broadcast studio, but a recording studio before we bought it. So it was already, what we're using was already there. We're not making any structural changes to it. It was ideal when we saw it.
Got it. Any other questions?
What's the nature of the call-in show?
Excuse me?
What content in the live?
We're 24/7, ultimately.
But what?
So we'll have content of all kinds. The initial shows, just to give you an example, excuse me. The initial shows we're launching will be a home improvement show. It's a call-in show called the Honeydew Show. Everybody knows what the Honeydew List is, and we have two people in the booth. It's male and female, and they take calls and they tell people how to fix up their homes. We've got another show that has been on the air, other networks and other stations around, including a station in Springfield recently. It's called Our American Dream with Walt Cameron, and Walt has joined our team now, and we'll be doing a show regularly on our network. We have another show. Are any of you familiar with Delilah? Mm-hmm. The Delilah radio show. We're doing a show very similar to Delilah. Not exactly, but it's a Delilah-type person dealing with personal issues and feelings and so forth, and playing sweet music and so forth. It's
most family content, family-friendly content.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah, we're in Branson. Yeah, it's okay. We're very conscientious of that. I might also add we're very. I've lived in Branson since 2004, 2005. Came here from Dallas, Texas, by choice. My daughter has spent a lot of time in this building. Sherry Harris, attorney, is my daughter. And we're very much into the Branson scene. We obviously are doing this because we think it will not only help us, but it'll also give another venue to Branson. We have spoken with a number of the entertainers, some of the shows here, some of the people that are interested in doing some things for us. We're not going to, as a general rule, broadcast entertainment programs, per se. We're not in competition with anybody. We're not doing that. But our kinds of shows would be interviews, either interviews with or interviews by the Branson names, that we'll call them. The people that across the country would be interested in hearing about or hearing from. That's the kind of programming we're going to do. I'll tell you one thing, we're not. We, at this point in time, we're only considering one political type show. There are enough of those out there, you know, and we all have our political leanings, but we're not that. When we say talk radio, we're, what is it, talk, entertain, and inspire? Yeah. That's what we're into.
Okay.
We're even doing one more. Let me get this little pitch in first. We're doing one of the Branson Sunday morning worship services that primarily caters to the visitors in town. And the reason we're doing that is because when these people go home to Seattle or wherever they live, they're our people. This is the audience that we hope to attract to our network and keep them listening to us when they go home. When they come here, they're certainly going to listen to us. And one of the things that Branson visitors do is they go to church on Sunday, and a lot of them do. And so we thought it best to, that it would be appropriate for us to give them one of those when they're home. And we're doing that, and it's non-commercial. We don't, we're not charging for the time and not selling ads. It's just to take care of what we call our people, and they're the Branson tourists that come here year after year.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's move on to the second hearing then, and this is...
Where's the city boundary?
He should have been here last month at the concept. He wouldn't have all these questions.
Purple line.
Purple line?
Yeah.
Okay. We've already asked all these questions.
Okay, we're moving on to the small engine doctor.
Since Sean's been here every week for the last 5 years, I guess. He can say something.
Okay, Mr. Coxey, you'll read the report, please.
This is the Division 3 staff report for the small injured doctor relocation dated November 9, 2009, case number 09-28. This is the public hearing for the relocation of the small engine doctor business located off of Ridgedale Road in the Oliver Township, Section 17, Township 21, Range 21. The applicant, Richard Robinson, requests approval to move his small engine repair business to another location. History is that the business is currently being operated at 2157 Ridgedale Road, and the property to be moved to contains 1.5 acres, which required the applicant to acquire variance from Table 1 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. The variance was obtained October 21st, 2009, from the Board of Adjustment. General description, the subject property is currently vacant. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and commercial. Review, the request is to operate a small engine repair business and to construct a building to house his things that he will be repairing. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following. A, utility easements and building line setbacks. B, foliage screening and fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. Improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from fire, sewer, and water districts and the Department of Natural Resources. Number three, no outside storage of solid waste materials. Number four, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days that the approval shall expire. This project received a negative 9 out of a possible 51 points, negative issues being waste services, which accounted for a large chunk of that, use compatibility, and residential buffering. And let's go to the board. This is the property, if you'll remember during the concept, long thin property. Since we have been with you last, we had a lot of research done. Dan did a lot of research on this property, and it does not extend up this far. That's why Mr. Robinson had trouble saying, is that my property? So, because he doesn't really own that much anymore, and it's what shows here. He was correct. It does cut off here just right about where that road comes in.
I thought he's going to get to find a new place to put a garden there for a while.
So, and this is actually how the property is shaped now here, so that you'll know. Down behind this, of course, this is where in this area where the three residential structures are, and we'll have some film of that so you can kind of see what's going on there. Of course, the close-up again. Of course, as you know, Horton Road does no longer extend out to Highway 65. It is closed off there. So let's go on to the film, I think, Dan.
Is Horton the one that goes...
Let's stop here. Sir?
Is Horton the one that goes to...
Horton Road came... It was just a little bit short road. It went right out onto Highway 65 in the past. It comes up to Ridgedale Road and then out to Highway 65. So it was just a little short road. And when they made 65 the limited access, you know, several of the roads there in Ridgedale were shut down. So, I mean, that is it here.
I'll be able to see it with the film. I don't know where I'm at.
Yeah, so, that would be it right there.
Yeah, and now it is closed off. So, this is what Mr. Robinson's hoping to do. Of course, his new driveway and parking area. This would be where his septic and lateral fill would go. A shop building here, 40 by 60, excuse me, and then a fenced-in area here for the additional equipment that would be waiting to be repaired, waiting to be picked up, or there for the use of extra parts and everything.
Is that septic system the one that you said has already been approved?
Yes, right, and I mentioned that. So, you ready to go to the film? Yeah, we better. This kind of gives you a good picture of what's going on out there. This is the property, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. No, that's the other property. Yeah. Okay. We're still be looking into the property right now. And this will be the property, and we're going to swing around to the right here. And you'll see this little road that comes in. Hopefully you'll be able to see it from here, right there. And that's where that property ends. But that is listed as a county road, 86-100B. So that was mentioned during our last meeting there. Of course, Ridgedale Road coming down in front of it. This is Explosive Contractors across the street there. This would be Horton Road here. You can see that it's closed off, and you know this is where it is. As you come around, kind of a lot of sight. This is the other road that supplies the homes in the behind. There, Gillum, so they get into the property. And then in this area right in here would kind of be where we're looking to build the structures. The house is behind there. You can kind of see we're going to take you for a ride down Gillum Road here. I think this is where we're going. So that you can kind of see what's going on here. This is the property here, or out front there, excuse me. And as we come behind, these are the homes that would be accessed through Gillum Road.
Is that a county maintained road
there? I don't think it is. I'm going to just stop here and kind of give you. I didn't know if this at one time had been a daycare or something. It kind of gave you the impression that it might have been. This house right now is vacant, I believe. And then there's a...
Is the stuff on the right the back of his property, or is there... Okay.
Yes, right in this area.
Okay.
And this house is occupied, and you'll notice there's another structure behind here, which I believe makes up that third residence that they mentioned last mm-hmm. month. They can explain that to you a little better. This was the chimney service, what I was trying to show you at one time. I don't know that this is still in operation or not. It looks like it might be.
It is, because they cleaned my chimney this morning.
There you go.
And we talked about the property.
We're going to bring you on out to...
did my research.
Oh, you did. Can you bill that to the county?
I got my chimneys.
And then again, just looking through this way would be the property that he's wanting to build on.
So there's a little bit of brush, more or less, in the fence line, and then there's a little bit of mature timber on the property that may or may not still be there once he puts the building in.
That is correct.
Okay.
And it may be his and it may not be his.
Do you mean the brush or the big...
It may be right on the property line. I don't know exactly where that's.
Okay.
Okay. Two people have signed up, Mr. Robinson. So, have some comments or additional information?
He covered everything pretty well. I'm Rick Robinson, a small engine doctor. I have a grandfather Division II permitted home-based business there on Ridgedale Road. It's about a mile from 86 Highway. And I'm wanting to move it up. It's also on a real dangerous corner that people go through there that I've got pictures, but where my business is now, I've got a lot of trucks and trailers, and I've even had them backing out in the road. And like I say, I'm right on a corner. You only got maybe very little distance you can see, and I'm worried about people getting hurt there. And that's one of the main reasons I was wanting to move. I want to move it over. That's a half mile further south, and... you can see at least 100 yards both directions pulling out, and it's over a 35-foot driveway into my property. and there'll be plenty of room down there to turn around, and they can. I want to fix it where they can drive through the building or around the building, and be plenty of room. I've needed a bigger garage for a long time to put everything in. And
Mr. Robinson, again, the building is 40 by 60.
That's what I want to build with an additional 20 foot.
An additional buffer. 20 foot. Mm-hmm. So it would be 60 by 60?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But the additional 20 feet would be open storage?
It would just be like sometimes if I need the extra space. I may not even build it right away. Okay. I'm not planning on building it right away. I just want to get the 40 by 60 up.
Would it be covered?
Yes, I'd like to keep have it covered. Yes, I would.
So it would be fenced also, and then there'd be some kind of outdoor cover over it?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Robinson, if I could. Okay. If they approve this and you build your building, will everything on the other site be transferred to this and nothing else be going on in that?
Yes,
site?
I should be able to keep everything inside. That's my goal.
And that site will cease to exist as a grandfathered business.
I'd like to be able to park in my driveway again. And I do have the sewer permit, and I also got a letter from Epps Trash Service saying that they'll be glad to take care of my trash service. And that's pretty well all I can think
of. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have another person, L. Laurent. Okay, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself for the record, please?
I'm slow.
Sure. While she's coming, Ms. Laurent came to our Board of Adjustment meeting. And we instructed her that was just for the variance, and the issue she was bringing up would be addressed here.
Okay.
I'm Linda Laurent. I am the mother-in-law of Scotty that cleaned your chimney today.
Okay.
It used to be R&L Chimney Sweep until my husband passed away in 2001. And my nephew took the business for a couple of years, give it back to me, sell for a while. I took run it a while now. Scotty has it. And he lives in the back. That back spot you've seen, there was another residence back there. He and his mother and father and son lives there. I lived there about 30 years and raised my family there. We're neighbors to Rick. He's, as far as I'm concerned, a very good friend of the family. He's a real good friend of my husband, and I've known him and his family all my life. I don't have a problem whatsoever with him moving his small engine repair there. My husband and I tried to buy the same property for years from Mr. Fisher, and he never would sell it to us, and we were wanting to build a place to so we could have a chimney and stove shop and work out of it. He definitely has a problem out there where he's at. It's a real bad curve. There's been lots of wrecks out there. And I'm sure that would make him a good place because there is plenty of room to make turn-ins and turn-outs and all of that. My only concerns, and they may have already been taken care of, I'm not sure, and they may not be a problem at all, because I haven't talked to Rick, I was concerned about if there would be lots of mowers around there that would be like salvaged out. Excuse me, I could have a drink of water if you don't mind. I take medicine that makes me dry out real fast. Now where was I?
Concern about the motors and engines.
Oh, yeah. Salvage yards have that, and I don't think that will be a problem. I'm sure that what he's got, he don't intend to bring all of that out there. He's got a lot more money in taking it away than he does in bringing it out there, you know, if they're useless. But I was just concerned about our view, you know, from my front porch. We have a swing out there, and we sat out there a lot with my grandson and that type of thing. I'm sure that we probably can come to some type of terms that won't be a problem. I think you'll make a fantastic neighbor. And my son-in-law is the one that had brought up to me. He's been a small engine repairman for 25 years, or I'm not sure exactly how long it is. Ever since he's out of high school, and he's worked for us for years off and on in the slow season of the repairman. He said that he's even going to hit Rick up for a job maybe later on. I think that that and property value was the only thing that I was concerned about. So, and if it's a nice shop, and which I'm sure it will be, that shouldn't be any kind of a problem. And I just mostly wanted to get here and just give my views on it. And if he gets out there and everything, and I hope he does, why, we'll just be good neighbors like we always have been. He's only half a mile off the road, like I said.
Okay.
So that's,
I've got a question. I've just got a quick question because you mentioned,
for
buffering. One of the things that we often do as a commission is between residential and commercial, we'll either ask them to provide some type of landscape buffering,
mm-hmm.
which there's not a lot of natural landscape buffering. That's why
mm-hmm.
I was asking about the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you know, the fence that exists now.
Right.
Or some type of privacy fence. Now, you may not want to sit on your front porch and look at a privacy fence. I don't know. So that's actually my question.
Yeah.
As a resident out there, would you prefer the landscape buffering that's the brush that's kind of in the fence now as landscape buffering, or would you prefer a privacy fence for that, just that portion right there?
Actually.
Not that that would make the decision.
Right.
I'm just curious.
No, I understand that. But actually, with help, I have cleared out from where you come into my driveway. It showed it earlier, from when you get around the corner to where the first house is. We've cleaned out almost every bit of that, but maybe, I'm not good with feet, 15 feet maybe, and we've cleared it all the way down. Well, then when our property ends and the Tate's property goes on, we have cleaned down there and tried to cut a lot of that brush back. Because the brush it sticks out in the road, and you see the drive through there,
yeah.
and your vehicles get scratched up when they come through there. So we've went along through there and cut a lot of that out. As far as having vegetation on his side of it like that, I don't mind at all.
If he had the vegetation on his side that exists there now for the buffering, you would be okay
right.
with that?
Right. I'm just trying to get it away because a lot of it is things that grow fast. Mimosa trees, they just take over.
Yeah.
And
okay.
We're just now getting it together.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank
you. I've actually got one more question for Rick.
Okay. Good idea.
Kind of the same question as far as it sounds like the only question I've got, and it can – it has to do with buffering, is it sounds like to me your plan for any outside equipment storage is going to be fenced in anyway.
Yes.
If you do, it's either going to be in the building or it's going to be in that fence if you do that 20 by 40 or whatever that was.
I've got to have it. There won't be no security there like where
right.
I'm at now.
So you're not going to have old mowers that you pull parts off of laying all over the place?
I can't do that out there. I can't.
Okay. So anything you would have would be inside that 20 by 40 fence storage if you...
Yes, sir.
Need to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you say fencing, you're envisioning a fence that has either slats or a privacy fence.
Envisioning a privacy fence, not a chain link fence.
That'd be fine.
One that would block a view.
That'd be
of that
fine.
Equipment, which I think you would prefer anyway.
Yes.
Because that way somebody can't see what you've got
right.
there. Okay. That's the only question I had.
Okay. Any other questions?
The name of this business is Small Engine Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's close this public hearing then. Thank you all very much. Let's move on now. Do you have permit renewals for us?
No permit renewals tonight.
Okay, then let's move on to old and new business.
I do have some of that for you.
You gonna draw names or what?
We could do speed reading.
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
While I'm passing these out, I'll tell you, as you know, and you've received just a little bit of information, the elected commissioners have been working on a way to make our zoning districts compatible with state statute to make sure that what we're doing is not legal, but not necessarily able to be litigated, to make sure that there's no question that we have the correct districts and everything set up or improperly defined. They engaged the services of Aegis Engineering, and they are here tonight, and as are a couple of our commissioners, you can see. And what they've done, they've asked Aegis Engineering to view our county, to kind of establish what exists in our county at this present time. And then in so doing, to help to set up some districts that they could draw a map and saying this is Taney County at the present time, not looking to change any districts, not looking to do anything but define what we've got. So Aegis Engineering came back to us with some zoning districts, and I don't remember if I gave you that. We went over the list and took a couple out, put a couple back in, and came up with kind of a framework. Well, what happens once that's done is those districts need to be defined so that you can say, this is agricultural, this is residential, this is mobile home. And so it has to have some framework in order to for them to go out and say, this particular business fits into this category, so it will be this district and it will be this color when they get ready to draw their map. In so doing, it now comes to Taney County's portion to define these districts. So what Aegis Engineering has done is they've in light of the 7 or 8, maybe 10 districts that they've recommended to us, they have gone to another couple counties and they've pulled some ways that those counties have defined their districts. Just to give you some framework, not asking you to use this in any way, but to let you know that in some counties, this is how they define their R1 or define their R3. This is not something that is anything other than a tool for you guys to take and to say, do we need all these districts? How do we want to define these districts for Taney County? Do we need more districts? Do we need less or whatever the case might be? So as you read through this, where we're going to is this. The districts need to be defined according to our code book and whatever recommendation you would like to make to the commissioners as far as what needs to be done if we're going to have this district, how we're going to recognize it. Please do not look at this document and say, that won't work in Taney County. It's not intended to work in Taney County. It's just telling you this is how some other counties have defined their areas. Now, you may find some things in there that you like and want to keep. You may find a lot in there that you're going to say, not in this county. So this document is just a guideline for you so that we can begin to start defining these districts so that Aegis Engineering can then take our definitions and then go back and draw a current use map, what actually exists. We're not going to change any districts in Taney County. We're not going to create pre-existing non-conforming type things. You may have some of that, but we're not telling anybody you can't do this here anymore because we've colored it different. We're just going to define what's in Taney County according to some district definitions here, and so that they can draw a map and we'll have different zoning districts. That being said, if one of the commissioners may have something they wish to say, you may have questions, we can go from there.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions here, because just in scanning this, it looks like your actual districts begin with section 400, where you start with, and it's about halfway through the document. And it goes from agricultural, residential, office districts, commercial districts, et cetera, et cetera.
If you look on page 2, there's a listing of the proposed districts.
Okay.
And then as you go through this, they'll go into each one of those districts and show you how somebody else has defined those.
In section 400.
In this whole document. Yeah. What this will do, if we get it, you know, this worked out and everything. Right now we have Eastern District absolute and relative standards, and we have Western District absolute and relative standards. This would kind of eliminate those two, and we would have one set of standards for Taney County, regardless of where you are. But there will be different zones all through the county, and then each one of those zones being defined would tell you what's allowed there.
Okay, and they are doing an aerial analysis of the county, is that?
They've done an on-site analysis. They've gone to the different things that have been done. I don't believe aerial has come into play yet.
Hi.
Or a GPS or?
GIS, yes.
And you are?
I'm Larry Gregory with Aegis Engineering. And over the summer, we worked with the assessor's office and GIS, and we got a list of all the parcels throughout the county. 28,000 unincorporated parcels. From that, we took the parcels that had multiple assessments. You know, some parcels were assessed as both residential and commercial, for example. We figured the ones that were assessed with one type of assessment was probably pretty accurate. But where the county really didn't know what was there, we went out to try to verify. From that, we took the GIS data and broke out approximate areas of different land uses on each of those parcels. And there were 530 parcels that we looked at. We did make the assumption that anything that was assessed as agricultural and residential was a farm, farm with a farmhouse. So we did not look at those, but anything else with multiple assessments we did look at. We got that information to Patsy Alexander over in the GIS department, and she printed out a map for the commissioners. And I think Eddie's probably seen that. I hope he has.
I saw it in here. I don't have a copy of it yet.
All right. We have not done any aerial work. We do have the aerial maps that we got from GIS. And in some parcels where it was, you know, maybe an 80-acre tract where we couldn't really see everything that was on that parcel, we did look at the aerials just to try to get a better understanding. But that's the only place that we used the aerial photos.
Your observations based upon that kind of data gathering that you've done on Taney County, would you say that the districts are pretty clustered by type throughout the county?
No, ma'am. No, unfortunately.
Too bad.
Yeah, that would be nice. But no, there are many situations where you have one parcel that has a trailer home and maybe a machine shop and agricultural land, just all there on the same parcel. Where ideally you would have commercial in one area, residential in one area, but it's not that way here. And what we're aiming to do, we're not going to tell anybody that their land is non-conforming. What the goal is to set up zoning districts based on what's there now. And then in the future, if somebody wants to change the use, then the board will look at the uses around it, just like you're doing now. This is just a way to get it more in line with the state codes. We don't want you to end up in the same predicament that your neighbor to the west is in.
I'm not sure what you're asking us as the commission to do with this information.
First of all, would like you to look through it. It's not reading that you want to do before you go to sleep at night, or you'll go to sleep a little faster probably. But we need you to look through it and then decide if you want to have work sessions to try and define some of these areas, or if y'all want to just individually jot down your stuff and then get back together and talk about it. If you want to set up a small committee out of the people here that are kind of representative of the different areas that might be there. But today we'd ask that you would look at this, determine the, what you think the best way to go about defining these areas for Taney County in keeping with our code book and, you know, what for Taney County. Okay.
But we could have a week now for us to review this.
I would suggest to you, yes, ma'am, that this is something that's not going to happen overnight. So I would think if you would digest this and come back to us next week at our next meeting, at our regular meeting, and with maybe some ideas of how y'all would like to go about defining this.
Steer season. Kidding me?
I don't know. We need to ask the commissioners that are here.
You got a lot of time up there in the beer stand. Do you have anything else?
or anything like that. I know we don't want to drag it out for months and months and months. So that's why I suggest maybe a smaller group that could concentrate some time on it. It is deer season.
Come on, man. This is Taney County. It's deer season. That's like a
so, holiday. But, yeah, we probably need to think about it and then try to set up some kind of a workable plan next meeting, if we could, and then go from there and maybe set some kind of a deadline to have some preliminaries on it. But we can get a better idea from either Mr. Pennell or Mr. Strahan as to what kind of time crunch or anything we might
do. Commissioner Pennell, do you have any counsel and advice for us?
Or if you need to clarify anything, we appreciate that.
It's pretty well covered. County commissioners have spent much time with it, looked at it a little bit, but the idea of the different districts and seeing if you think those are, like Eddie said earlier, if there's enough of them to cover the county or there's too many, we want to narrow it down. That's the main focus, is just to look at the different districts that they've given us and see if they'll cover the properties like or you were saying that we can separate the different kinds and in reason.
Larry,
so what do we have right now? Do we have just three districts? We have commercial.
We have two districts. We have Eastern District and Western District. And then everything else is approved on an individual basis. Some of it becomes commercial and is taxed differently, but we treat it either as commercial. Residential, if it comes before you. Residential is allowed anywhere in the county, as is agricultural.
Right.
So basically, when it comes before you, they're asking for a land use change. It's not one of those two uses, and you would approve it for it.
So our attempt here is not to legislate, but to define.
You would need something from us saying residential R1 is defined by these characteristics.
That's exactly
before
right.
Before he can draw it.
That's exactly right.
Either that or he would just have to say, this is agricultural, this is residential, and this is commercial, on his best guess.
So we're not changing anything?
No, sir. This allows him to color and draw the map of what's existing in Taney County now and say, this fits into this category as defined.
But we have more definitions now, is what we're trying to incorporate.
That would be correct. Or you may choose not to have this many. I mean, it's totally open at this time, but as they were in the county viewing, they said, these are the kind of things we're seeing, so this is the probability of how you want to break it down.
So, for instance, office districts and then heavy industrial are not districts that...
It's not something we have now. If somebody came to you and wanted to put in a steel plant where they melted it down and everything like that, we may find a place for them in Taney County. You know, they would come to you and ask, and then you would make it that, which would be heavy industrial. But in the future, if you've got these districts set up and they came and said, this is this, and I'd like to put this there, then we would say it meets the criteria. You can go ahead. They wouldn't come before you at that time. However, if they're just, say, adjacent to heavy industrial and they want to change that use, you would take that map and be able to look at it and say, well, what's around there? Can this fit? And then you would have the option to make that change, and then that recommendation would go to the elected officials who would then finalize that decision.
Something that's very special to Taney County and just a few other counties, and I'm guessing this is what it is, would be timeshare, or whatever they call it. Was that neighborhood rural commercial district? Is that what you guys put that under? Because that's something that we deal with on a pretty regular basis that's different than most counties.
Right. Let me give you a background first before I answer
that.
From what I understand, the problem right now is that there are two zones in Taney County, Eastern and Western, and they are regulated differently somewhat. They have different requirements.
They have some different absolute policies. They're pretty much right. The same, but there's a few different absolute and relative policies.
Right. And in order to be more in line with state codes, we looked at zoning ordinances for Greene County and Buchanan County and came up with this list. And I've sat down with Mr. Coxey and gone over it, and he gave me comments, and we took out a couple and all. So that's where these came from. Now, as far as timeshares go, what I envision that to be, just my opinion, would be under the R3, which is multifamily residential. Condos are a weird thing because, you know, when we went around and looked at it, there would be a big condo building and four units in it would be assessed as commercial and the rest would be assessed as residential. But they're the same thing. And you know,
they're not the same.
Well,
I mean, I know what you're saying, but they are different.
They're used different.
Well, they look differently. At least in my opinion, they're different.
Okay.
Because of how they're used.
Okay.
If you've got a total timeshare building,
mm-hmm.
I know what you said is why I'm giving you a different example. You've got a total apartment complex. You got the same people living in the apartment complex 365 days right. a year that go to work, that do the same thing every day, like you and I do, mm-hmm. where we live in our homes. That's their home. You've got a timeshare. People are down here on vacation. Might be two or three families visiting at the same time. They've got a boat. They've got they do. It's not the same. They are different. And having that next to that may or may not work. It might.
And that's the exact information that
yeah.
that we want to get out of these.
But meetings. That's just my opinion. But. I think they're very they are different, and that's okay. something that we deal with that you probably aren't going to find in Greene County or Buchanan.
Case in point is where I live right
exactly
now,
the villas,
where 10 of the build there's 10 buildings, three of those are timeshares, the rest are residential, seven.
Yeah.
So it's mixed, but they're the same buildings.
But they are
right.
But they are different.
And that's,
yeah, I mean,
that's
you
what
see
I mean.
Very different use there, though, right?
Different use, same building.
I mean, the
same
way they operate
floor plan, same
on a day-to-day
right.
basis.
There is a category down here for
I don't
what
like
we
it.
Call planned unit development, where
yeah.
maybe that's a better description.
Well, in his, just, but I'm just yeah. thinking if it's totally different developer,
right.
which we also come so. I just, that's something that I wasn't
right.
sure if that went under neighborhood, right. rural, commercial. I didn't know. I was just curious because that's something we deal with on a pretty regular basis.
What we were envisioning is neighborhood commercial would be out on a far stretch of 160 in a little town that has 200 people,
uh-huh.
a little general store on the
okay.
on the corner.
But however you would choose to define it, if you've got those kind of issues and you say, I think it fits here, that's what we're looking to do. Is
yeah, I just don't see that fitting under. I understand your R3, but I don't think it fits.
Okay.
It's not the same.
Well, that's what we want to look at and get input.
Can we no longer...
Well, we've also got to be careful not to step on
some things, depending on how you define
codes.
Right.
Oh, we're not dealing with building codes.
And some things
well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
It might be in here.
There's some in here.
And if it wasn't allowed, they would come.
That's for the people to decide.
Building codes in here when you go.
That's for the people to decide.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But in here, like under you.
Either that or it already fits in there.
Regardless of my personal opinion,
should there be some science?
There may be. That's why we're asking you to look at
it. I said whether I like it or not.
That's my question.
Right.
And even the last one about mixed use in an area.
That's why we're telling you, look at this, think of these situations, see if they'll fit, see if you can define them. If we need more or we need a different kind of category, where would you put it?
Yeah, well, you know, we've got that, and then we've got nightly rentals in the middle
sure.
of subdivisions.
Sure.
Those are things that we've got here that a lot of people just don't have.
Right.
Somewhere
and
else.
We may have to define a way to,
yeah.
to handle
I mean, those
that.
Are things
but that's
that are
the kind
different.
Of things that he can't know
right.
and he can't define for us. That's why it comes back to you guys.
Okay, we'll look at it this week and come back with a strategic plan on next Monday.
Next Monday.
Mr. Strahan, would you like to say anything?
Thank you.
In 1 week, too. That's
right.
But, and see...
saying, back up in time and saying, how would we have done this at this time when it's a perfect layout? So how would you define that? My only concern is how would you define that as agricultural, which you would have 20 years ago?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. How many steps would have had to be taken in front of an appointed board to get timeshare, condo, residential, all those to coincide like it did, and would you even have been able to?
Planned unit development.
See, I think that would fall under planned unit development, where they come in with everything. We want to do this. They came up with the whole big plan. Branson Creek would be another issue. We want to have hotels. We want to have timeshares. We want to have duplexes. We want to have a little bit of everything. And they come in with their planned unit development. But you've got to define that. Right now, we don't really have that kind of thing defined.
And nightly rental now is primary residential, primarily. But all of a sudden, the statutes have made commercial drift into it, because you do have nightly rental, basically motels set up in your nightly rental. Basically motels set up in your condominium.
And that's a big job for you. I got to be.
Well, and my question, James, is, you know, what do you do with timeshares that are selling for $15,000 per week and so have a real estate assessed valuation of $500,000 as compared to a condo that may be selling for $100,000.
We have now a system set up that's not statutory. We've had to set it up ourselves. A lot of timeshare units are set up 78% as the building being residential, 22% commercial. We have that drifting down in based on their rent. And now we have it set up for some point system condo. You guys ain't even close to the point. This is point system. Yeah. That comes out 98% residential, 2%. So we've got a big, big job in the assessor's office. If you've got one, that just absolutely makes me look like I'm a little fella.
Well, I think we got to do something. Start drawing some maps so we can do a little more planning and a little less zoning.
Are we going to be able to, I mean, in 1 week?
All we're wanting from you in 1 week is to review this and develop a plan. Yes, Mr. I'm sorry, I'm not sure.
We're not developing a plan. We're just reading.
No, you're just reading through the document, familiarizing yourself with the information. And then on next Monday, we talk about the strategic plan for moving forward. So don't panic.
Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm a little...
But make notes. Like,
hey, I'd love to.
All right. I'm a little unclear as to what our direction is. This is what I understood you to say. We're looking... This is about a 90-page document.
Yes, sir, it is.
It's my understanding that we're to look at these definitions for different districts, the names of these districts, and the definitions as starting in Section 400, and see if they apply to Taney County.
No, exactly. These are just how other counties have defined that. Look at the different districts that are set up, and then think about the different things that we need to define in Taney County. You may not need all these districts or anything like that. You may read through those and say, that's a good way to separate these particular districts. And then you decide how it works with our code book and with Taney County. You may not use any of their wording. You may say, we don't need that district. If you'll notice, we've got an A1 and an AR there, and we're differentiating somewhat between the large farm and what I would call a hobby farm for the fellow that has a small bit of acreage there with a house on it and some animals and everything. Do we need those two? Maybe not. Maybe you'll say, no, we don't. But you can read through what they've said and kind of think, here's what they were thinking. Do we need to think in that way or not? And if so, do we want to use any of that, or do we want to define this differently? But what you just need to do is familiarize yourself with it, with the districts, and then we need to decide how we want to define this.
Yeah. Again, don't panic on this. You're not having to come up with all the answers by Monday. I just want you to familiarize yourselves with the information that you have here.
Yes, ma'am. If I may just be redundant. Let me just be redundant. The big picture on this thing is to determine what the zones are going to be, what the zoning districts are going to be for Taney County, and then after that, define them. So really, as far as this week goes, you don't need to digest what's in that 100 pages. That's the work to be done over weeks. If what we're really wanting to do is determine, okay, is this enough zoning districts? Is this too many zoning districts? Does this fit? Don't pay much attention to how they're defined. The way this thing, as Larry said, the way this really came about, we took Buchanan and Greene counties and your existing regulations, and we tried to keep as much of yours in there as we could. So we married the three. Now, there are some things in those definitions that you'll say, this is nuts, and we didn't come up with them. They were in the other counties, okay? They may not fit you guys. You may just want to throw them out. But what we'd like to do is maybe set up a subcommittee of the commission that would, once the commission will says, yeah, this looks like the right zones that we want, you guys define them for us and come back and talk to us. But this is going to be an ongoing thing. This is not going to be just settled in a week. Those definitions are definitions other counties use. You may not like them, but the big picture is to figure out the zones and then define them to fit Taney County, but not in a week. Yeah.
So take it to the tree stand. Take a pencil and make some notes. Okay.
The last thing I need to do is bring you up to speed on the air park in Cedar Creek, if I could.
Okay. That's
it. As you know, our last meeting, you voted to allow a minor sub, even though this project has a stop work order in place on everything. And in so doing, we're asked if I was presented with a workable plat, and if they would either bond or in place, put the infrastructure in place as we would with any plat to go ahead and sign that. We did get another plat from them. Frank and I visited the site so that he could see exactly what was going on out there. And then last week, Randy, we received the preliminary engineer's estimate. It wasn't a signed, sealed copy. From Ms. Warner with their indication of what it would cost to put this road in. Felt that was probably a little bit low, so I got Randy Hayes to go with me and visit the site so that he could see the road, because he knows what their road standards are and what needs to be done. Upon visiting the site, there are some things that need to happen, even some things that I really wasn't aware of until Randy told me. Sending a letter or an email to Ms. Warner tomorrow, stating that we're going to need another plat because they've got some areas that they filled in and they had to bring the dirt up from a long way out to make it high enough. And in those areas, the road easement's going to have to exceed 50 feet in order to take in the toe of both of those. So that'll have to be shown on there. The estimate that Road and Bridge has is a little bit higher than what they had. And my concern is that in the event that we need to go in and put this road in, I would be comfortable with what they say they can do it, because if we have to pull this bond or anything like that, I'm probably going to ask Frank and them to go put that road in so that it'll be in compliance. There's a few other little things going on. There's some excavation work. We measured a slope out there that exceeds the 15% that our code book allows, so they would either need to go to BOA and get a variance on that, or they would need to excavate that out so that it doesn't exceed that 15%. Because I don't have the right to override that rule. Just some little things like that. Also, we'll write a letter to the extent that that there is a stop work order in place on that once we get all this back, and that this is being allowed to help facilitate bringing the project into compliance. It's not overriding our stop work order or anything like that, but this is being allowed to help move the project toward compliance. Barkley, there is one little twist here, and I feel like I need to make this statement. Part of this road that she wants to put in is the future grass runway that she wants to keep, which I told her that I personally could not approve, That would have to come back before you guys, the FAA, as long as it's not a, what they call a published airport, doesn't care if they have a road and they land on it or if they whatever. I can't make that call. We would plan it as a road easement, and therefore we're going to require that it be bonded, you know, just like you would build it as a road. However, she really doesn't want to put gravel on it because if she does, you can't land these airplanes on it with the gravel. So that's not, but I would put a statement to the effect on the plat and on the and in the letter that I would send her that we're approving this as a road easement and not as a runway because that is one of the requests that she needs to bring back before you guys and let you hear that to see if it can double as that. So long story short, I need a new plat. I need a bond at 120% of the engineer's estimated to fix everything we've got here.
Are they going to be able to do that?
We're not probably talking a tremendous amount of money in the neighborhood of $50,000 plus, you know, the additional 20%. So, you know, less than $100,000 easy. I do believe they would be able to do that. I'll have to have a new plat, and you know, to make sure that that you know it conforms and everything like that. And that's kind of where we are. I do feel like she probably will be able to do that. Again, I do have the issue with the slope that, and we may have to go out and recalculate that. It's, you know, it's only just a few degrees off, but, you know, we did make Mr. Token out on Hillhaven come in and get his variances. He had one that was 17% and a couple that were 20. And in the past, Eddie Wolf has been in here with Emery Creek because they had a slope that was out of whack there, too, and before our Board of Adjustment to get the variances. Normally, it's granted. And this is not anywhere near the issues that we had out at Hillhaven with Mr. Token. So, but it is a delay.
What about the additional acquisition of land for the jet plane being able to land?
That does not come into play with me at this particular point. Okay. If they want to buy additional land and add it to that, okay. Of course, our code book states they'll have to come before you. I do want to bring up one more issue for you, just so you'll know, and Mr. Preston asked me this today. He said, if we approve this one minor sub, that's all she can do. And I told Mr. Preston, no, I don't think so, for this reason. You have several different tracks out here. If you'll notice, one here, and one here, I believe were part of the original tracks, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, what you're seeing here is where this was all split up with just warranty deeds and everything like that. What our code book states is that you can do a minor sub on a tract of land. Each one of these has a different parcel number. So, and again, we would not do that until, you know, you guys were aware of it and everything like that, but they would have the right to come in and ask for a minor sub here and a minor sub down here in my interpretation of the code book. Of course, it would fall under the same scrutiny and everything like that. So I want you to be aware of that, but I think we're in line with what we're saying here. I don't think it'll be interpreted that way when we send it out and everything, but I do want to make sure that whatever we do here, when it's all said and done, that these people that might buy these lots will have access to their property at minimum defined county standards. So that's where we stand, and we'll see what happens from there. Any questions? Yes, sir.
The board is aware that there are many of those lots already sold.
Yes.
I mean,
yes. They're not in compliance, and that's... That's why we have a stop work order on the place and some other things that are going on. So,
lots.
32 lots, 18 different owners, if I'm not mistaken. And I check with Linda in your office every week to see anything new because there's
not. Letters in all the time.
So, you get what kind of letter?
Because of the runway / roadway issue, why can't it be a runway / driveway issue? Why can't the runway be a driveway into the individual properties?
That's what they would use it for, but our code book requires a certain amount of road easement and everything.
So they're going to have a real deal.
You mean to the front of a lot?
To service a lot. Yeah.
To service a lot, there's a certain amount of road easement that has to go to that lot.
It requires 70 foot of road frontage on an existing road.
So the only way to show that is as a road
easement. And she has it platted on the plat as a road, and that's what it says. And had Mr. Preston not had conversations indicating that was going to be a runway, I never would have taken it as a runway. Although I knew she did want to add that second runway back in, and was supposed to come before the board and ask for that. Because you approved it with one runway, and with the other one being taken out.
Well, the stuff we all approved
is new.
Moot at this
right,
point.
Right, I understand that. And they need to come back.
They got to come back.
But that's the thing. I didn't want to sign this plat with the understanding that I'm approving a runway for the project, is I guess what I'm trying to say. And I wanted to make it clear that I'm approving a road.
The only thing that's not my concern out there right now, and they can do anything on, is that minor subdivision plus those big pieces of property, as far as I'm concerned. Because everything else is out of
all that would be allowed would be what's on this minor sub.
Right, right. And I mean, if somebody wanted to buy that whole piece of property and do something, right?
Sure.
Also, if you approve this, we're not fixing any of the previous sales issues. It's outside of that.
Right. This doesn't fix any of the sold lots. They still have no access and everything. But the thinking of the three different attorneys and everything was that this is something that we could probably approve if we can get everything in place, and it may allow them to have the funds to begin to bring the rest of it into compliance.
That's the whole reason.
And that's what we normally ask for. When we put a stop work on a property, we ask them to come in and to present to us a workable plan how they're going to get the property into compliance.
Right.
And so this would improve their cash flow so that they might be able to do that. We just want to ensure that what we do approve is there so that these people that do buy can utilize the property.
But is it their salesman out trying to sell 2 acres and above in other territory up there?
I got that impression that at air shows and stuff that he was taking that preliminary plat that they'd had, that it was just the presentation of their idea of how the place should be put together, and was attempting to let people know that that was available to be bought.
Still today.
But there's no
the last time that they were in, that they talked to you, he'd mentioned they'd just come back from an air show. Now, have they transferred any property? According to Linda, when I talked to her, she's not had any new warranty deeds come through. And also, Ms. Warner, I believe, met with the elected officials, and I believe with you, Mr. Preston, and stated to them, maybe you weren't there.
They met with me. I'm not sure if they met with me.
But they believe stated to Chuck and them that she would not be selling any. Is that not you? I thought I saw an email. Right. But that she stated that she wouldn't be selling any more property at that particular time. And to my knowledge, since that time, she has not. And I would appreciate that.
That'd be good.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and that's one of the issues we've got and everything. But I've been trying to, like I say, check with Linda because I think she told me she had 32 or 38 parcels at the time, and she hadn't seen any new ones since that time.
Put a stop order against the real estate.
Okay. Anything else?
That is it for me, ma'am.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, so moved.
Meeting is adjourned.
That gave it expanded.
Second, third. Okay, so who all's not going to be here next month? Is there going to be a beer hunt?
It depends. If I'm done, I'll be here.
Okay. So, if you're done, Frank, have you no idea?